Hi, bonjour. Thank you for joining us here. Good morning here at the UN office at Geneva for this regular press briefing today, the 12th of August. We're very pleased to have with us Rick Pipercorn, who, as you know, is WHO's representative in the occupied Palestinian territory, who's joining us from Jerusalem, if I'm not mistaken. Tarek is also online from WHO. We'll turn immediately to you, Rick, and thank you in advance for continuing to keep our journos here abreast of the situation on the ground there. So over to you.
Thank you very much. Good morning and greetings from Jerusalem. I hope you can hear me loud and clear.
We can, perfectly.
Thanks. So let me, I want to discuss a few topics all related to health in Gaza. Let me first give an overview of the situation at health facilities. The overall health situation remains catastrophic across the Gaza Strip. Currently, less than 50% of the hospitals and less than 38% of the primary healthcare centers across the Gaza Strip are partially or minimal functional. Also, we've seen a stark reduction in so-called medical points. Bed occupancy in the Ministry of Health hospitals and other hospitals, actually all over, has exceeded capacities. Just to give you some figures, Shifa, close to 250%. Rantisi Hospital, over 210%. Nasser, over 180%. And Al-Ahli, a bed occupancy of over 300%. The critical shortages in medications and consumables continue, of course, have only exacerbated with 52% of the medicines and 68% of consumables at zero stock. Hospitals are particularly overwhelmed by the injuries coming from the food distribution areas, which are also driving persistent shortages of blood and the plasma. The number of casualties among people trying to access food supplies has increased to 1,655 fatalities and more than 11,800 injuries since 27 of May 2025. Displacement order, another topic which affects us directly, especially in Gaza City. WHO Gaza City warehouse now sits in an evacuation zone, and the destruction that wiped out, as you all know, our main certain warehouse must not happen again. There's also another impact on those current displacement orders. The impact on health, one primary healthcare center, one medical point are within displacement area, about three hospitals, one field hospital, one ambulance center, six primary healthcare centers, and two medical points are within 1,000 meters of the displacement area. Hunger and malnutrition. Hunger and malnutrition continues to ravage around Gaza. As of the 5th of August, 148 people have died from the effect of malnutrition in 2025. And this includes 98 adults, 49 children, 39 of which are children less than 5 years. Nearly 12,000 children under 5 years in Gaza were identified to be suffering from acute malnutrition in July, the highest monthly figure recorded to date, according to the nutrition cluster. And this includes 2,500 children, more than 2,500 children actually, who suffer from severe acute malnutrition, of which 40 were hospitalized at the so-called stabilization centers. Diseases, meningitis. Between July 7 August from July to 7 August, a total of 452 suspected meningitis cases were reported across the Gaza Strip. This is the highest number recorded since the beginning of the escalation. Isolation measures have been implemented, including the separation of an external department, the Al-Kher Hospital, from a national complex and the establishment of an isolation tent at Al-Aqsa Hospital to, well, as much as possible, safely manage suspected cases. Guillain-Barré syndrome, you heard about that. During June till 7 of August, 76 suspected so-called Guillain-Barré syndrome cases were reported across the Gaza Strip. The surge in cases partly because of improved acute flaccid paralysis surveillance done by with assistance of WHO, by the MOH and support from the WHO and Parkes. So the so-called Guillain-Barré syndrome is a post-infection syndrome and comes following respiratory and gastrointestinal bacterial viral infections. And this highlights the exacerbation of risk factors and the necessity to mitigate that. We all have talked about collapse of washing infrastructure, water and sanitation, hygiene, overcrowding in shelters, malnutrition and compromised immunity, restricted access to healthcare and testing capacities. So WHO continues to work closely on strengthening surveillance and addressing these gaps relating to lab and diagnostic capacity as well as treatment. The Ministry of Health's first-line treatment for Guillain-Barré syndrome, you can do not just, but the first-line treatment is intravenous immune globulin, so-called IVIG, or plasma exchange, PLEX. This, both of that is a zero stocks, so are the anti-inflammatories, and their delivery must be urgently expedited. We hope actually to bring a small quantity in next week. However, we need approval to take this in. Emergency medical teams, complex entry requirements, and the arbitrary denial of international medical teams is impacted the availability of healthcare in Gaza, leading to more preventable deaths. Since 18 March 2025, denial rates have risen by nearly 50%, with one of the two critical international health professionals, including surgeons and other specialized medical staff, barred from entry. Movement of supplies, that's a really important one. So since June, WHO brought in 80 trucks of medical supplies. However, entry processes remain extremely difficult and ever-changing. We need, for example, a staff member, a professional, to be part of at Kerem Shalom to actually inspect what we are loading. That is constantly impeded by delays, etc., unnecessary. More important, many items such as assistive devices, ICU beds, freezers, cold chain medicines, anesthesia machines have been denied entry. 282 pallets of supplies entered via Ben Gurion Airport. They have been entering, so their clearance process is slow, way too slow. So what is needed, open multiple crossings into Gaza to simplify and expedite the procedures and lift access impediments. We want to stock up, and we all hear about, more humanitarian supplies are allowed in, etc. Well, it's not happening yet, or it's happening at a way too low pace. My last part is on medical evacuation. Since 8 March 2025, 10 medical evacuation missions have taken place, 440 patients, including 305 children and 747 companions. Total patients evacuated since October 23, more than 7,500, of which over 5,000 children. More countries must step forward to accept patients, and referral pathways, including to the West Bank and East Jerusalem, must be restored. Tomorrow we plan another medevac to European countries, and we will report on that in future. Next week I will be in Gaza for a couple of weeks, so I'll report, hopefully we'll report from there as well. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Rick. And of course, when you're back in Gaza, do connect with us. And if you could kindly, maybe Tarek, if you can send the notes, lots of important figures here. So if you can share those notes with us, that would be much appreciated. Okay, colleagues, over to you for questions, starting if there are any in the room. We have a question from Robin of AFP. Robin.
Thank you. Dr. Rick, could you say a little bit more about this impression that large amounts of humanitarian aid are now coming into the Gaza Strip? Because from what you're saying, it seems like that's not really an accurate picture. So could you expand on that a little bit, please? Thank you.
I'm sure that you have had the overview from my colleagues from OCHA and from other agencies as well, like WFP, etc. I mean, we've raised this so many times. When there was a temporary ceasefire, the UN and partners brought in between 400 and 600 trucks per day. That made a change. That made a difference. Then we saw suddenly food prices dropping. We saw some more diversified foods, etc. There were some wash products. We stocked up on essential medicines and medical supplies. Not everything, but we stocked up in a much better way. We don't see that happening. Yes, that needs to happen. The market needs to be flooded, first and foremost, by food. This has been said so often. The market needs to be flooded. Prices need to go down. That will only reduce the mass casualty incidents we see about any food distribution which currently takes place, etc. It will reduce the looting at the moment. But that needs to be continuing. We see still way too little happening. It's absolutely not on the level what is needed. And as I already raised, the arrangements are still incredibly slow and cumbersome. And when I talk specifically on health, that a lot of the items we need to bring in are currently still denied. Over to you.
Thanks, Rick. Okay, we'll take other questions perhaps in the room. No, I don't see hands up. Online, any questions, colleagues? No, I don't see any. Maybe just to give it a minute for questions. In the meantime, just to remind you that you have, of course, you will have seen the statement that we issued late on Friday from the Secretary General on the announcement from the Israeli government. Since we haven't had a chance to announce it here, I'm doing that, taking that opportunity now. It's a bit dated, but important sentiments in that statement that we issued late on Friday. You also have the OCHA update with some of the figures and some of the developments, which Rick just spoke to, for your background as well. So I'm just taking another look around to see if there are further questions. It's a quiet group today, Rick. I'm not sure. I think we're all fatigued here, but I think we may call it then on that
maybe
note.
Please add
any comments you want to add. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to think on the former question, just to be also more specific on some other supplies. So, for example, on fuel, what is needed to carry on the humanitarian operations, but also make sure that hospitals continue running, etc. 50 trucks of fuel must come on daily. And what we see currently is around 20. So that's also another area. And for us, for WHO, we're able to bring in less supplies due to the cumbersome procedures, due to some of the products which are still denied, and we're constantly negotiating about that. What we want to, as quickly, you know, stock up hospitals with everything what is, you know, being shared in the news, etc. The whole, what of course following the news, the whole discussion about an incursion in Gaza. We want to make sure that hospitals are at least a little stocked up. We currently cannot do that, and we also want to rebuild our own reserves. And we currently are not able to do that in a proper way. So procedures needs to be adapted. We need to be able to get all essential medicines and medical supplies in which are needed, and I provided the whole list, etc. And we need to stock up, and this doesn't only apply for health. It applies even more for food, market must be flooded, wash, fuel, etc. Over to you.
Absolutely. Thanks, sir, Rick. And I think, Tarek, you wanted to add something? Go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks a lot. No, it's on another topic, so let's finish with
okay,
the Dr.
Sounds
Peter
good.
Korn.
Very good. Okay, maybe just to echo, you know, colleagues, what we need is humanitarian deliveries at scale, at speed, and sustained. So this is really the key message here. And of course, thank you very much for the briefing, Rick. Lots of important data there, and thanks for notes that we'll report on. So thanks very much for joining us, and do feel free to reconnect with us once you're in Gaza. So thanks again. Okay, Tarek, on another subject, please go ahead. We'll switch gears then. Over to you.
Thanks a lot. Just to come back on this, we will be sending. I will be sending notes really in a couple of minutes because Rick gave lots of important figures. So hopefully, it will be in the inbox of everyone in the next 10 minutes. I just want really to remind everyone about the 1 year anniversary of declaring Mpox as a public health emergency of international concern. For those who have been at WHO last week, Dr. Tedros has spoken about it. He was speaking about the trends, that it's a really mixed picture, that in some countries we see decline in cases, but in other countries we see new outbreaks. In 2025, 79 countries have reported the Mpox cases and deaths, and the worst affected countries have been Democratic Republic of the Congo, Uganda, and Sierra Leone. And more figures are available on our website. The emergency committee will convene again in September, as you know. Emergency committee convened in June and said that situation on Mpox still continues to be a public health emergency of international concern. If anyone wants really to have more on this anniversary and on global situation Mpox, please let us know and we can organize an interview with one of our experts. That's what I have, Rolando, back to you.
Thanks very much, Tarek. In fact, Emma has a question for you. Emma.
Morning, Tarek. It's actually on the plastics treaty, and apologies if you've already given your view. I'm back from holiday, but how important is it to the WHO that a deal is made this week, and how concerned are you about the impact of plastics on human health? Thank you.
Emma, Dr. Tedros spoke about it at the press briefing. I don't know if you were there, and obviously it is important to have agreement on plastics, and there were some studies, and studies are still ongoing on the effect of the plastics, especially on microplastics and nanoplastics on human health. And I will share if with you, I will find for you the report that we issued. I really can't remember when exactly, but there was a preliminary report that was issued on that topic.
Thanks, Tarek. Do we have further questions for Tarek? No? 1, 2, 3, going. Okay, thanks again, Tarek. And do share any information on the plastics pollution treaty, which is a good segue, because that's just a few announcements from me, including on the plastics pollution treaty talks, which continue here. As you well know, we had colleagues who, you've been following this, I know, very closely. The plan is that the talks are aiming to conclude this Thursday, the 14th. We will certainly keep you up to speed on all developments thereon, including any plans for a press conference. You had the press conference here with the chairperson and with the executive director of UNEP here on Saturday. I gave you a midpoint review, so we expect to have another encounter later this week, towards the end of this important gathering here with thousands of participants. On that note, I should mention we have one press conference announcement that is taking place today, the 12th of August, 1 p.m. It's at the stakeout position on the third floor in the E building, just behind room 20. And this is a stakeout with the Danish Minister for Environment and European Commissioner for Environment, Magnus Heunicke, Danish Minister for the Environment, and Jessica Rosewall, European Commissioner for the Environment, 1 p.m. at the stakeout position behind room 20. On meetings, we have the Committee on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities kicked off its 33rd session yesterday. Today, the committee, known as the CRPD, is reviewing the report of the Democratic Republic of Korea, Democratic People's Republic of Korea, DPRK. Later in the session, it'll review Kiribati, Maldives, and Finland. So do take a look at the media advisory. And just wanted to draw your attention to one more statement, a statement from the Secretary General, which we issued yesterday on Colombia. And this was to express condolences to the presidential candidate, Senator Miguel Uribe Turbay of in Colombia, who passed away, sadly, after the assassination attempt, which turned, which he succumbed to illnesses 2 months later. This took place on the 7th of June, as you well know, and we issued a statement on behalf of the Secretary General yesterday. And today is International Youth Day. I don't personally qualify, but some of you do in the room, and it's an important occasion to celebrate the determination, creativity, and leadership of young people everywhere. So we have a Secretary General's message in multiple languages that we shared with you. The theme this year is local youth action for the SDGs and beyond. So do take a look at that message which we shared with you. And that is it from me. Are there any questions? No? Okay, then I wish you a good afternoon and see you here on Friday. Thanks.